ladies and gentlemen, and people of all gender identities, we are live, and you are listening to
Forget About It on Radio Region.
This right here, this is Never Too Much by Luther Vandross. It is a beautiful Monday morning, July 16th? Simon, July 16th? No?
July 12th, actually.
Oh! I knew that. If I don't want nobody else to ever love me, you are my we'll let this rot for a bit. I already got the date wrong, but that's okay. We're here to have fun, have a good time, have some intelligent, thought-provoking discussions. I still remember in the days when I was scared to touch you up, how I spent my day dreaming, planning how to stay. Oh, man. And we are turning down the music now. And ladies and gentlemen, I hope you are doing well. I am doing well. My name is Diane Muhammad.
My name is Rebel.
My name is Saima.
And my name is Samir.
And we are live. As you heard before, our show is called
Radio Regent.
Well, we are on the Radio Regent Network. Forget about it. That's the show, that's the name of the show. It's Forget About It. It's a show where four of us get about it. Where we are here to discuss the real issues, the real topics, the real things that affect our community. We are here. It's our first broadcast. It's a wonderful noon. I hope everybody's doing well. Robel, talk to me. What's going on? How you feeling?
I'm good.
You good? What's up with you? What you been up to?
Just been sleeping a lot. Been looking forward to today.
Yeah. You, Saima, what's going on?
I'm great. But before we begin, I think it is necessary to acknowledge that we stand on colonized land. We recognize that the purchase of the land that became Toronto was a deceitful and dishonest transaction. We recognize that colonial power over these lands is built on murder and that Toronto's name originated from the Mohawk Nation. Regent Park specifically is situated upon the Haudenosaunee territory where the Ojibwe language is spoken and is the land that Treaty 13 covers. As settlers, it is our responsibility to acknowledge the true history of the land we are situated upon to ensure that Indigenous history is not erased.
That's it, ladies and gentlemen. That is our land acknowledgement. We wanted to make a point to acknowledge not only the fact that we are on Indigenous land, but to go further than that, we wanted to acknowledge the genocide that took place on this country, that took place to build this country, really, that is the foundation and the core of what our society is built on and how we, work. Sorry about that. I think before we get into anything, each of us should give ourselves a more detailed introduction. So my name is Diane Muhammad. I am 19. I grew up in Regent Park. I am a student at the University of Ottawa. I am studying history. Right now, I am a community media journalist, as are all of us. We are community media journalists based out of the Daniel Spectrum, but the organization is the Regent Park Focus Media Arts Group. And we are employed here to bring you the news on a more ground level, as opposed to CBC. Or Rogers, or Bell, or, you know, the big guys. We're the little guy. Samir, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so my name is Samir. I live in Regent Park, beautiful neighborhood, gotta mention that. Like Diane said, we are media journalists, so that's great. A little bit about myself. I can't swim. Just got to mention that because, you know, Pat McConnell tried to teach me for many years, but still can't swim. I love many sports, soccer, volleyball, basketball. That's mostly it. I love our city. So we just got a great city. Just got to mention that.
Saima, who are you?
Let us know. So my name is Saima. I am 17. And this is like my first summer job working with Focus Media, so that's really exciting. I've also lived in Regent my whole life, so it feels really like rewarding to be able to have like a first summer job in Regent. So that's a little bit about me. I love reading and just art in general. Like, I'm not like a crazy artist, but it is a hobby of mine, and I love watching movies. That's me.
Yeah, okay. Robel, my friend. What's poppin'?
Hello, everybody. My name is Robel. I'm a student at Jarvis Collegiate Institute going into grade 11 next year. I'm a little bit about myself is I really like art. I find it like just a way to like pass time, to like be expressive about like anything in general. It's a good way to express yourself. I like going on walks with the community, saying hi to everyone, just being out there. I also like meeting a lot of people, and I find that this radio show in the coming weeks is going to be a great experience for me. It's something I've never done before, and I'm excited to get to know all of you guys listening, and I'm very excited for the interviews we have coming up.
I remember the first time I met Robel, I was a camp counselor and he was a camper, and we had never spoken to before, and he looked at me, he's like, "You're my son." I mean, mind you, he's 14 and I was like turning 18, so I did not have that disrespect, but that lets you know about the type of fun, bubbly personality Robel has. Bubbly?
Yeah.
Bubbly.
Fun times before, you know, COVID.
Before the world happened. If you're listening, you probably noticed we're talking a lot about Regent Park, but we want to tell you what Regent Park is. So, Samir, why don't you give the lovely people listening a picture of what exactly we're talking about?
Yeah, so if you don't know, Regent Park is located in downtown Toronto. We have a beautiful neighborhood with many different amenities. Like I mentioned, the Pam McConnell swimming pool. We have our athletic grounds where a lot of people from different communities come, and they come in and enjoy themselves, and they talk with different types of people. That's also something else that I want to talk about, our community. Our community is so diverse. We have many different religions, races, everything.
Different ethnicities, everybody.
And it's kind of like you get to learn and appreciate those different type of cultures, which I love. Also, a little bit of background on our community. This community was built around 1940. And over the past decades, we've received like serious revitalization and redevelopment to make our community look as beautiful as it is today. So, yeah, that's a bit about our community.
That was a good PR answer, my friend.
Thank you.
That was wonderful. Yes, Regent Park, once one of the largest housing projects in the country, maybe even the continent, recently went under a revitalization process. Many activists have criticized it, calling it gentrification, whatever side you fall on it. I'm right and you're wrong. I'm kidding. Let's also get into us and our relationship with the community. So how long has your family lived in Regent Park, Saima?
So my family moved to Regent Park a year after my sister was born. So I think that's like 21 years now.
Mm.
And so yeah, we moved like 21 years ago, but I obviously was not born then. But I've lived here for my whole life, so 17 years. Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Samir?
So my family's been here for a while, about 18 years. So I've lived here my whole life. We've had to move twice, so we've had three homes here. But I love my time here. And over the span of the following years, you just see the community change so much. And you see all of these different types of like parks going away and new parks coming in and new buildings going away and new buildings coming in. And it's kind of like a story you can tell your friends of, oh yeah, I used to live here, but you know, now it's this big building. So there are disadvantages and benefits that come with this revitalization, for sure.
Yeah, for me, my family immigrated from Bangladesh and stayed in St. Jamestown for a bit, for like a year, and then moved to Windsor, Ontario. That's where they had me. And in 2004, they came back to Toronto, this time in Regent Park, and we have been here ever since, specifically Northside Regent Park. Recently, because of the redevelopments and everything, I'm in Southside now, but I mean, who really cares? Robel, talk to me. How long you been here?
Well, I've been here ever since I was born, and my family's probably been here from like 20 years, probably like 20, 30 years before that. And I don't know, I just couldn't imagine myself anywhere else besides Regent Park. Like, it's just, it's like kind of just like a neighborhood, but it's also kind of like one big family, kind of.
Yeah. If you put it that way. I gotta mention that. Mm-hmm. Like, we go to different communities and you don't really see a sense of home in the communities. Yeah. And then you come to Regent Park and you see everyone's dogs, everyone's friends, everyone's dapping each other up. Yeah. We really have like community and like programs and everything that just makes a community.
That is interesting though, the whole like I couldn't imagine myself living anywhere else, because I always said that I was tired of living in cities because I'd lived downtown Toronto my whole life. I lived next to construction. I was like, when I get older, I want to live in the middle of nowhere in the forest. But I think a couple weeks ago I did a trip with my friends. We just stayed over at a cottage for a couple days and I hated it. It was dead silent. There was no light. There was no cars driving by. And it was awful. Like, my friends, we would try to go out, but we couldn't see a single thing. So, for me, I feel like it might have turned into a sort of grass is greener on the other side thing. And, yeah, I think city life might be it for me. I think Regent Park, this is my home. This is my community. This is who I am. It's in my lifeblood, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's so close to everything, too, because there's, like, Dundas. There's, like, the streetcar there. And then there's King. And there's College. Right. And Queen. And, like, it's just close by to everything. So it's really convenient, too.
Yeah, that's true.
And you know what I love? Like, we're always doing something different.
Yeah.
We're always having, like, a program going on or a sport going on and an event going on, most importantly. We got Friday right on in front of Paintbox. We're always doing that event where all the youth and adult gets to come and they sell food, different types of things. I just love that about it.
Mm-hmm. And where were your guys' families before, like, they came to the region?
I think mine, this is Simon speaking, by the way, I think mine lived in, like, Victoria Park, but just for, like, a year, and then they moved to Regent, but, yeah.
Yeah, so my family came from, like, near Bleecker, so St. Jamestown. Mm-hmm. What about you guys?
Well, it's been, like, my family's originated from Ethiopia, and ever since they came to Canada, they were always here.
Yeah, yeah, no, me too. All right, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to take a very quick break for some music, and when we come back, we will have a guest, and that should be fun.
How that K blows, but we used to rock the same clothes. And niggas made me rap you in a what for? And they gon' pay the price in blood, and that's on everything I know.
On everything. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mustafa, Regent Park's own folk hero.
Swear I wasn't looking for no beef. I got a family to feed. There's room for everyone to eat. I was all about the peace. I didn't want to risk it all. Oh, I know what's at stake. But you made yourself special. I want to throw my life away for you. Full clip with zombie tips. I'll give all my days to you. Speed on any street, I won't take a break to you. My patience and my peace, I'll feel all the rage for you. There's a war outside and I can't lose. All my dogs, I can't choose right to run. Right to run with my dogs, right to run.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Mustafa, Regent Park's own. It's a song called The Hearse. Oh, I apologize. We have a guest. Her name is Muna. She is a provincial youth outreach worker in the Regent Park community.
Hi, Muna.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
We are doing wonderful. It's a nice day. Not too hot, not too cold.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. So I think we should probably just get right into it. So we wanted to ask you, first off, what's your story? How did you get into youth work?
Yeah. So can I just get your name? Because I just feel like
right. I apologize.
I know Saima's there, but I don't know the rest of you guys.
So my name is Dayam.
My name is Rebel.
And then my name is Samir.
And then I'm here too, Saima.
Oh, hi. How's it going?
Going good.
Yeah, I think I know two of you. Stand corrected. I think I know two of you. So it's good to be on the phone with everybody. My story's kind of long, but I'm gonna try to make it as short and concise as possible. And I do apologize. I have adult. I recently got adult braces, so able to speak for a long period of time.
That's okay.
Pardon me.
That's fine. It's fine.
So sometimes I'm struggling to speak. So I will try my best.
Yes.
The long and the short of it is my family, we moved before the redevelopment of Regent Park, and we moved on Dundas, where the steps, my building used to be on the steps of the artwork is, so the steps of the park, of the new park. So that's where my building was, behind us, next to the church. So my family, we obviously, rent was very expensive. We couldn't get rent anywhere that was affordable. So my mom, my brother, and her sister, which is basically like my sister too, we ended up moving. And we spent basically our formative years in Regent Park. And kind of saw the evolution of the redevelopment. It was really big at the time. And so we moved to North Region while they were doing the redevelopment. And I guess during the time, it was, my family is very, very involved in the community. And I kind of basically fell into community work. And I went to school. I studied child development, and I had a few other interests: sociology, public policy, and Canadian public policy, not international public policy. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I do have interest in politics and things like that. I worked in nonprofit for a bit, and worked in youth work, of course. I worked with children, young people, adults, immigrants, all kinds of people, and for all kinds of agencies. And when I saw the opportunity to continue youth work in Regent Park in a clinical capacity, so I am a YAO, and I have been doing the clinical component as well. That's a little bit more new. But YAOs have been, provincial YAOs have been around for like a really long time. And I've had to learn a lot from my other colleagues, all the youth workers that have really showed me the way, in this field, from all the agencies, Kiwanis, Regent Park Pathways, and, of course, Central Neighborhood House where I work at, even the city YAOs. I've had, the opportunity to work with all the ones that are, South Center and the other community centers. And I really saw the need, my agency saw the need for clinical YAO. And it was kind of difficult in the beginning, I'd say, because a lot of it was, we didn't really know how long we were gonna stick around. We didn't know if, we would get the money to continue. And we really have to start from, and you guys know, working with people, just any capacity, you have to, people have to get to know you and see what you're about And, you know, because that trust, it takes time to develop. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so that's where I'm at now. I've been, you know, now we're busy. My colleagues and I are going to continue to work in Regent Park. But also even just expand it to downtown East, mm-hmm. you know, Esplanade mm-hmm. and Moss Park, St. Jamestown. And of course, expand it to the age group too. So 12 to 24 is the mm-hmm. age that we work with now. But the agency, you know, we do work with youth up to age of 29, right? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my story, how I came about to this role. But and that's a little bit about my personal, you know, I guess my story, if you want to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really it. I know I kept it. I was talking for a long time, but it was really, really short.
Oh no, it's no issue at all. So you said that right now you're looking to expand into the city. What would you say long term is the end goal of youth work, the whole field in general?
Yeah. So I can only speak to myself, but yeah, okay. What I want to see is, you know, more youth supported. You know. And of course, younger. So young, I mean, although we work with, again, young people from the age of 12 and above, I would like for, you know, I would like to be able to support younger children as well, because there is a need, because some of the issues that come about in schools, in the community, in families, in the home, and do impact younger and younger kids. Mm. So I sometimes do have to make that, we have to make that call, be like, well, you know, who can we find to work with this young child? But they're like 10 years old, right? They're right. 11 years old, so they're not quite. So I think there's a lot of time, sometimes, you know, difficulties around the age. But a lot of times, if the child can find someone in either a mentor, so we maybe try to refer them to like a mentorship program, mm-hmm. or someone, you know, maybe in the community who they really trust, someone who's not quote unquote a youth worker, but is someone who they see as a positive role model. So sometimes it is about making sure that the young person has someone in their lives that they can go to, because of course, as much as we want to continue working, obviously the reality is we're not going to be in their life forever. Nor do we want to necessarily be. But I think the goal is to reach younger children at a much younger age, especially when they're quote unquote at risk. I don't right. like to use that word, but like sometimes they're really vulnerable. And we want to be able to make sure that they're not missed. They don't miss the support that's out there.
Mm-hmm. That's
I think that's the area where I think that we could do more.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting that you say you don't like to use the term at risk. Why is that?
Because it is sort of a label, mm-hmm. that, you know, again, in youth work, you know, we have all these things, right, you know, where we try to, we don't necessarily want to put people in the box, but we end up doing that, so mm-hmm. that's not necessarily good sometimes, but these labels are really sometimes more for agencies and for, you know, grants, things like that, where you do need to write that, but I would like to say just you know, young children who are maybe are not connected, or they just don't find that they have those relationships in school, because mm-hmm. they do spend majority of time in school, but in the community, so maybe they're not feeling that they don't have someone in their lives who they can, you know, who they can talk to, who maybe they can get guidance from, advice from at a very early age, right? Mm-hmm. And then they can show them different paths, find out what the interests are. And because sometimes, you know, I know you're playing Mustafa before I came on. Sometimes these people, you know, they do see Mustafa as a role model. And, you know, there's a lot of people in the community who are youth workers, who are from the culture, who are, you know, who do a lot of great things, who do work closely, much closely with young people. And so I think that if you can find someone who you see on a day-to-day basis in the community that is doing positive things, is doing good things, is doing something that you're interested in, mm-hmm. is giving you guidance, is giving you real talk, and is just hearing you out and try to, you know, try to make a positive impact on your life at a younger and younger age.
Right, yeah. I also wanted to get into just, I guess the world in the last 2 years has been really weird. And, you know, with youth work being so, I guess, connection oriented, how has the pandemic affected or challenged the way you have worked, and how have you adapted to that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been working, our agency for the most part has been closed. And of course, you know, in terms of virtual programming, we've had to move to virtual programming. But now with summer's, you know, it's a little bit different now. We're open. A lot of the programs are now open. But last year, for, you know, a good 16 months, it was basically all virtual. For myself, I tried to make sure that I was available. I was more flexible. Mm-hmm. I had my phones on the weekends, you know, because sometimes I would be working when we were before the pandemic. I would be in the community on the weekends. There would be, you know, things that were going on, festivals, barbecues, whatever it is, games, you know, basketball games and things like that. So we would go in the community on the weekend anyways. But I think during the pandemic, I had to make sure, like, I had to be available virtually, texting, FaceTiming, WhatsApp, you know, Google Hangout, and IG, of course. And I had to make sure that my phone was on, let people know that I'm available, let the community know that I'm available, and, of course, the young people that I'm working with that I'm available. And they shouldn't hesitate to reach out to me. So really making myself flexible. And there are times when, you know, you do have to make a call. You have to make the decision whether or not it makes sense to go in the community and do a face-to-face, right? Being outside, taking precautions, especially if it was like maybe the warmer months, mm-hmm. you know, late fall, you have to make a, you know, call. Early spring, you have to make a call, and of course now it's summer, so you would be in the community and do that face-to-face, or have them come to your office if they need something and just have a chat, or just go to, you know, go sit outside in the park on the bench. We were doing that before the pandemic, but I think that some folks just really needed to get out, get some fresh air. So just, you know, having an ice cap or something just outside. So just being flexible, really, meeting people where they are, going to them, and not necessarily, you know, if you hear someone, maybe they're, you know, they're struggling a little bit more, they're having, you know, just really a rough time, and just making that call and going in that community, and so you can, they can see a friendly face. And you know, even though you're wearing masks and things like that,
yeah.
But it's still good to have that human connection face to face.
Yeah, for sure. And as a youth myself, I can say that you definitely worked through those challenges seamlessly. And so, because like during the pandemic, you would always reach out to me and message me through IG, which was honestly so helpful. But that leads me into the next question. What are the challenges that you think the youth themselves face?
Right, definitely. I can say firsthand when I've been out in the community or talking to them. Sometimes you don't get that, again, you don't get that clear picture until you go out, and you know, because some people just don't want to talk on the phone, or they text very little. Maybe they're trying to stay off social media, they're trying to take a break. And I think that basic needs, I can say, is just very basic food. PPE is expensive, yeah. as you know, a lot of folks are finding difficult to afford that. And if they're, especially if they're going out, you want to make sure that you support them when they're, you know, going out. Information, the lack of information, contradictory information, not knowing, young people not knowing who to talk to, where to get sources of information, and basically what to believe, right? Mm-hmm. You know, is this, especially in the beginning, people didn't know a whole lot. There was just all these things going around. What, how to differentiate gossip, rumors,
yeah.
And of course myself too. It's not just adults that are having to deal with, right?
Mm-hmm.
So making sure that you provide them with the best knowledge available. You provide them with the things that they need. And even before they ask, so you know what? Is this something that you think you'd be interested in? You know, is this mm-hmm. something that you wanted, you would like to get help with? How's your family doing? You know, other than school, how's school going? But other than school, how are you coping? What are the things that you're doing to cope? A lot of the programs were shut down and a lot of them moved, virtually, right? So a lot of, you know, pathways, they weren't able to go to do tutoring or to meet their student support workers and things like that,
mm-hmm.
and be like, okay, how are you doing with school? Are there things that you you need help with? You know, and even the I found the scheduling, I would see. I'd see like someone liked my post at like, you know, 2 or 3 in the morning on a school night. And I'm just like, what's going on?
Yeah, exactly.
So the schedule, everybody's schedule was off whack. The days were off whack. Everybody was feeling this way. But I think young people were acutely more affected because, again, the school was closed for the most part. For the most of the pandemic, especially yeah. high school, so you know the days that maybe they would go in, you know, they didn't thought.
Mm-hmm.
So just disconnection, the scheduling, just so many things. Just it was haywire. Things yeah. were just uncertain, I just felt like, you know, if I could provide just a little bit of support, emotional support, someone
yeah.
who. You know, you can call and you can text and find out, you know, get some information or get into a program, whether you would like maybe just to spend 2 hours in a week just talking about what's going on. When the George Floyd murder happened, you know, it impacted a lot of young people, right? I could see that in their posts and things like that. And even this year, you know, what's happening in Palestine, what happened in, you know, young people are acutely affected by these things, even 10 times more than pre-pandemic, I think, because we're stuck home and we're having to, you know, our parents are having to watch the news. You know, I know growing up, my parents were always news junkies, right? It's like all CNN and Al Jazeera all day long, right? So you can't escape from it, right? Yeah. Things that are happening back home, you know, our families back home, you know, so that, you know, maybe we've even lost some folks, you know, and on top of the other things that we're having to deal with, our own grief and sorrows. So I'm not going to lie, it's been a lot. How has it been for you guys?
I think I can speak on behalf of all four of us and say that the challenges have been a lot different than in the past, especially with COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, I feel like there's not, at times you can feel helpless, like you feel like you can't do much.
Mm-hmm.
But the next question, we have a couple more questions left, like about 3 more. The next question is, how do you connect with new youth? Like, say you want to reach out to a new, like, person. What's your process? Mm-hmm.
I think word of mouth is really the most effective. You know, other than if they see me in the community, if I'm at the school, you know, if they, if I know one of their workers, someone in their lives, you know, their family members, or you know, their siblings or their friends or things like that, I think that if someone can speak and say, you know what, I've worked with Muna before, or I know Muna, I've seen her around, or maybe they've seen me around, like, oh, you know, I've seen you, your face looks familiar, I've seen you around the neighborhood, you know, this is what you were doing, this and this and that, and you know, or my friend told me that, you know, you can help me with my resume, or you know, I could get help with, you know, such and such, you know, and sometimes it is a way in. I think the most effective way is if someone could, yeah, you know, definitely co-sign and say that, you know, yeah, she's cool, and you know, she'll give you the time of day. I think that's the most effective way. And I guess pre-pandemic is just being visible, being there as much as possible, you know, being in the spaces, and just, you know, yeah, just seeing people in the community, and letting them know that this program is available to you, and maybe you could check it out.
Amir, I just found that interesting, because a lot of people can take fact of this, because post-pandemic, you know, a lot of people lost their social skills, so they can they can take note of what you said, and you know, add that in their vault, and learn how to socialize again. But for the next question, it's what's the most rewarding part of being a youth worker?
I guess, you know, the most rewarding is, that's hard. That's really hard.
If you have like a specific memory, maybe something like that.
Yeah, I know, because I was looking at the questions here. I think that's a nice question that is tied into that. Mm-hmm. I think it's really simple. I think if someone just says thank you, for you know you're a role model. I think just recently someone, I guess I didn't expect them to say that, but they were like, oh, I see you as a role model. I was like, oh, yeah. She's like, oh, what should I put you down? I'm like, well, you don't put me down. You're your neighbor, you know, youth worker. She's like, no, I think of you as a role model. And I was like, oh, okay. So it was really heartening. It's really, I don't know. It's something simple, but it got me. I think it got me. And the stories, I mean, the stories that stand out. I think I don't necessarily stories. So I don't want to be like this grand success story, but I think because everybody struggles different,
of course,
right? Everybody struggles different. If someone can just, you know, if a young person was just having difficulty just with the simple things, and then now the adversity is a little bit different. Maybe they can, they learned a new skill. They learned how to cope a little bit better. Or you know, they see a little bit hope, right? They see maybe they don't have that much despair. You know, their communication is a little bit better. Again, it doesn't have to be like a big thing. You know, so I think that those little things do matter. Just seeing that there's a way out of a situation. Maybe even just making a person's day better. Be like, you know, just sitting and talking and, you know, just giving them that hour or two of just a distraction, just for them to get out of that headspace, to get out of, you know, thinking about their lives. Sometimes it's really difficult. So I think it's just the little things, little stories that they would say, you know what, I was having a difficult time with this and that part, that time of my life, and you helped me even a little bit. I think that speaks volumes to me.
Mm-hmm. I just want to touch on that. Like, sometimes, like you said, that 1-2 hour of breather, that's really all what youth need. And a lot of adults sleep on that. It's like we're so stressed out and looking in our future and worrying about these things that, you know, we might or might not be available to. I think people should just focus on the present and what we have, mm-hmm. and just be thankful for what we have. Kind of like tune
Absolutely.
Out.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And again, if they're down with, you know, down, they have a lot of ambition, and not to say that, you know, that's ambition enough, but if they'll be like, you know what, I wanna reach for the skies. I wanna, you know, and a lot of them do. They're like, you know what, let me help you. If you let me help you, is there anything I can do to help you? If it's just getting that job, getting that interview, getting to that program, making even getting into a new place. You know, again, if their family was really struggling before, I'd be like, okay, mom and dad are not that, you know, they're not struggling that much, or, you know, that assistance, that food assistance that you gave us, that helped me for that week, right? That was less stress. Or, you know, we just recently wrapped up a program with the public, Toronto Public Library, for the Wi-Fi hotspot lending, mm-hmm. and the whole year. I think that's what I'm really proud of. I think this year is that whole year, you know, because they didn't know that their children were going to be going to school. You know, we're going to need that Wi-Fi for like the whole 9 months for the school year. So a lot of families were like, wow, you know, Mona, we saved a lot of money. You know, so it might not, for some folks, it might not be nothing. It might be like, yeah. But for a lot of families, of course, we know, It means a lot, because they can save so much on that cable bill or the internet bill or whatever, the package, and that the money that they would have spent for that is now going to the food, is going into this entertainment. Like, you know, my family was able to, you know, we were able to order something online, or order a meal, or, you know, just treat ourselves to ice cream, go to the park. Mm-hmm. You know, just enjoy a day. I think that's something that I always love to hear, and I can just making people's lives just lighter, and just, you know, just easier, because there's so much going on. I can't obviously solve everybody's problem, and no one wants me to solve anybody their problems, mm-hmm. but that's not what they're asking me for. But just making just that burden lighter, mm-hmm. Making sure that they can maybe spend some good quality time with their friends and families, or just be by themselves and just be content with themselves. Like you said, in the moment. Yeah. I think that means a lot to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Something as small as like rehearsing your goals. I think a lot of people sleep on that too, because mm-hmm. it's like, after Corona, I was kind of like, personally, I was kind of like, oh shit, what do I do now? What do I get into now? But now I feel like mm-hmm. if people just really think about their short-term and long-term goals, it'll be more easier for them. But I'll pass it off to Rebel. Yes,
nice. Yeah, I agree.
So we're almost out of time. So just before we wrap things up, do you have any advice for anyone listening, like any youth listening?
Yeah, absolutely. I just think that sometimes it takes a while for you know, individuals to get help, right? So if they feel like they're in a bad way, you know, they're not the same as they were before, they're losing interest, they don't, you know, they're not talking to anybody. And, you know, it happens to all of us at some point. We just want to just veg out, you know, just sit and not want to talk to people, be in our room. But I think that if we spend too much time disconnected with people, like you said, not only do we lose that, we lose the time with our friends and family, but we also lose time for ourselves, right? So I think that if you know, or if you know somebody, or if you are that person that's just so disconnected, and especially in the last year where you're finding it difficult to go back to quote unquote, you know, normal or being just regular, I think that, you know, you can seek out support, reach out to someone who you trust, someone who you see as a positive role model. And some folks, you know, they don't have that. So if you don't have that, you could always reach out to me, you know, on IG, or, you know, at my number, I'm always, you know, we could get to know each other. You know, I get to know you, get to know me. It's two-way street. And, you know, I'm there to let people know that there's someone there listening, willing to listen, you know, provide confidentiality, talk privately. So that's kind of my style. But I think the most important thing is just to talk to someone. Some people are really close. Some young people are really close to their parents, mm-hmm. right? So the communication is open. Some, you know, they have an auntie, an uncle, a coach, a neighbor, just someone who you can trust and you can talk to. And I think these rough, you know, just, I know sometimes people are busy. We're all busy running around. We're all, you know, doing our own thing. But I think that if, you know, I think now especially it's more important to make sure to check on people, you know, give that 5, 10, 15 minutes just chatting with someone. And if you can't, there's other people that you can reach out to, like myself. So that's why I guess I want people mm-hmm. to know.
Yeah. Muna, thank you so much. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for being so open about every question we asked. You know, if it wasn't, honestly, if it wasn't for your Instagram, I found out about this job through your Instagram.
Me too.
So,
thank you. I don't know if anybody's on Instagram anymore, so maybe I need to get on TikTok. I'm kind of hesitant.
I think Instagram is probably better for community stuff. TikTok is more just random.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it keeps me on my toes. I need to... I wasn't a big fan of Instagram, so again, mm-hmm. so that's one of the things that I had to learn to post things. And I'm thank you for the feedback because, I think that you know we do have to make sure that we it's our responsibility that you know we're reaching out to people who are not connected, who are again spend a lot of time online, you know, a great deal of time online. But I think that might change. I don't know. Do you guys see that changing now? People are just going to maybe just take a break from all the social media.
No, I don't think so. I think social media is pretty much woven into the way our generation has grown up. It's just a fact of life at this point, I think.
I agree. Well, thank you. I'll keep up the work.
Yes, please.
And thank you so much for your good work. It's a great project that you guys are doing, and I hope you enjoy the rest of it for the summer. And thank you. Special thanks to Saima for reaching out to me.
No problem.
And very thoughtful questions. This is by far, and I've done a couple of interviews in the community. This is by far the best.
Thank you. That's high praise.
Thank you so much.
Especially coming from
you. Yeah, you guys are really intelligent. Humble and just talented people. Thank you again. You have a great week and a great Monday.
You too. Thank you for coming on.
Bye.
Thank you so much, guys. Talk to you soon.
Yeah.
All right, bye.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. That was Muna, a local youth outreach worker, a clinical specialist thing. We're going to take a quick break. This is What's Your Name by Tyler, the Creator.
You look malnourished. Let's get some bread, fried an egg, yolk, and drown in the syrup. You pick a spot, I pick a tail number, and we could be tourists. Let's go to Cannes and watch a couple indie movies that you never heard of. Listen to bands, move when we dance, disco in France, smell some perfume, head in the wind. We can switch off, I can show you how you can really exfoliate skin. If you got a man, you should cut it off. Get your passport, cause we run it off. We can sit and talk. You can tell me everything that's on your chest, baby. Get it off. You are my type, you a bright light. And I'm like a moth, this is not a game. But before we start, what's your name, girlfriend? What's your name? What's your name, girlfriend? What's your name? What's your name, girlfriend? What's your name? What's your name, girlfriend? What's your name?
Yeah. What is your name? What do you bring?
Yeah.
I think that I got what you need, and I'm willing to do anything that you please. I'm trying to get down to the root of the apple, the deepest I could in them chains. My clan like Sonic can't speak, no. No, you can't hit my lean, no. Baby, tell me where the beats go, cause I'm lost. Your body compared to the
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. We want to thank you for tuning in. We want to say how much fun we had, how much we learned. I think we had a great conversation. We are going to be back next week, live at noon. The topic of the show will most likely, it will definitely mostly cover the role of us as settler immigrants in a country built on genocide and how we can show solidarity with indigenous leaders and in the indigenous community. We will have guests on next week. We're looking at some politicians, maybe some community activists, maybe. Hope you guys tune in. We are going to send you off on some good vibes, some nice reggae. This is Protege in Bloom featuring Lila Ike. Lila Ike? Sorry. I'm on fire for you, baby.